I'd like to continue on this afternoon with one other statement about these partially hydrogenated fats. Recently, an article has come out when all these different types of fats were looked at as far as their ability to cause cancer in the human population. Lard, saturated animal fats, polyunsaturated fats, and these partially hydrogenated fats. And these partially hydrogenated fats were number one on the list as far as causing cancer. Now, we talked about how polyunsaturated fats could become rancid, could become oxidized, and do tremendous damage to the tissues. But what about cholesterol? You remember cholesterol was that ringed structure that we drew? What about cholesterol? Can that become oxidized also? Most assuredly it can. And recent evidence here in the last few years is pointing toward the oxidized cholesterol, or the cholesterol that has had a chance to be exposed to the air, to be doing tremendous damage to the arteries. Now let me give you an illustration. Cholesterol comes in milk, and milk that has been air dried to make powdered milk gives that cholesterol a chance to be exposed to the air. And that cholesterol turns from a natural cholesterol into a substance that is still cholesterol, but it's oxidized cholesterol. And that has been shown to do tremendous damage to the artery wall. They call it angiotoxic. Very lethal to the cells there in the artery wall. Not only dried milk, but dried eggs, powdered eggs, dried meat. And these things are in abundance in the average diet. Now let me illustrate. Dried milk. At least out in California, they have a product they call 2%. And they call it protein fortified. Where they've taken dried milk and added it back to the 2% milk to protein fortify it. To add more protein. Well, we'll talk about protein in a little while. But here we've taken this oxidized cholesterol, and even though it's skim milk, it still has a small amount of cholesterol in it, enough to do real damage. And this dried milk is added back to the 2% milk, which you buy thinking that it's nice fresh milk. Eggs, dried eggs, powdered eggs are added to many products, many bakery goods that you would buy. Now these products, I really do not feel should be in the American diet. And yet many people, to save money, they buy skim milk, powdered skim milk, and reconstitute it themselves. Or powdered whole milk, which is even worse. Powdered eggs are a very common thing in many institutional diets. What is the difference between the cholesterol that has been oxidized and natural cholesterol? Say cholesterol that would come in the eggs or nice fresh milk. There seems to be a world of difference because that kind of cholesterol does not seem to have the angiotoxic or damaging effect to the artery wall. Not only that, but the cholesterol as it comes in eggs and milk is entirely different than the cholesterol as it comes, say, in the flesh of animals. Because the fat in animals is free fat. It's greasy and it's oily. And also it's the same way in the hard cheeses, like cheddar and Monterey and some of the other aged cheeses. If you warm those up a little bit, rub your finger across them, it's greasy. You can just look at the grease, all that free fat. And we spoke about how that you needed that fat along with the cholesterol so that it would be absorbed. So you have to have that oily, fatty, greasy substance in the diet in order for the cholesterol to be absorbed and to start doing the damage. Well, now, is milk a greasy and oily substance? Can you mix milk with water, or is it more like a grease or fat where it'll separate out from water? It's not. It mixes with water very nicely. You can mix cream with water. It doesn't seem to have that fatty and oily consistency that grease and oil have. Well, let's test it out and see if the cholesterol in milk and cream acts any different than it does in, say, meat, where you have the free fat, free greasy, oily substance along with the cholesterol, or in cheese, the hard cheeses. I'm not speaking about the cream cheeses or the cottage cheese or the ricotta cheeses, where they're more the white type of cheeses, the creamy cheeses. Well, there's been some interesting research come out in just the last few years showing that a group of people over in Africa that were placed on a diet where they used a lot of sour milk, something like yogurt, their cholesterol was very low, and yet they were consuming many quarts of this stuff every day. Well, the researchers couldn't figure it out, so they set up an experiment. Dr. Mann set up an experiment where he tested the difference between a regular diet and a diet where he added lots of yogurt. And Dr. Mann was amazed when the group he had on the yogurt had a lower cholesterol than the group that was on the regular American diet. And yet the group on the yogurt were getting much more butterfat, much more cholesterol in their diet than the group on the other. Well, he published this study and says there's something in sour milk or yogurt that actually will lower your cholesterol. Well, another researcher said, hey, I don't believe it's a sour milk that makes any difference. I bet you even milk would do the same thing. So this researcher published a study where he took a large group of people and gave them whole milk, rich milk, lots of cream in it. And he followed them for a number of weeks. And he had them drink 2 whole quarts of that milk a day in addition to their regular diet. And at the end of that time, he measured their blood cholesterol and it had actually come down. Lowering the cholesterol from drinking 2 quarts of milk. And there is equivalent in those 2 quarts of milk about 1/2 cube of butter. Real whole butter. Eating 1/2 cube of butter a day and yet your cholesterol comes down. Well, the researcher said, well, this certainly is going contrary to everything I've ever been taught and contrary to everything I've read in the literature. Now, I wonder if we took the butter out and gave it to the same group of people now, extracted the butter out of the milk and gave them a half a cube of butter every day to eat, if we'd get the same results. And so he did this. And after a number of weeks, he checked their cholesterol, and it was way up. Now, it seems like anything that is greasy and oily and fatty causes the cholesterol to go way up. But the milk and the creamy substance cause the cholesterol to go down, even though there was equal amounts of cholesterol in both groups, equal amounts of fat in both groups. Now, this study was repeated in some experimental animals where they took and made these experimental animals drink two or actually three different beverages. Group one, they made them drink water in addition to their regular laboratory chow. Group two, they made them drink skim milk. And group three, they made them drink whole milk. And then they measured their blood cholesterols after a number of weeks had gone by. And they were amazed to discover that the group on both the whole milk and the skim milk had lower cholesterol levels than the group that was drinking the water. And it's a commonly known fact that when you give butter to experimental animals, their cholesterol will go way up. But here you give that butter in the form of butter fat in the milk and the cream, it does not have the same effect. It's the way that God put it together in the milk and cream. Now, from this information, that butter will cause the cholesterol to go up, but the butter fat will not in the milk and the cream, we begin to wonder about eggs. If you would take eggs and eat them without any grease or oily substance in the diet, what would happen? In other words, if you'd eat a hard-boiled egg, or maybe a scrambled egg that you would scramble without any grease or oil, or a poached egg. And so we set up an experiment to where we put a number of young men on a diet where they weren't getting any greasy or oily substance in their food at all. Oh, but they were allowed to have avocados and nuts and olives and things like that. But these things are not greasy and they're not oily. They're all mixable with water. And these men, to this diet, were given two eggs a day. Now, the egg has the very highest source of cholesterol of any natural product known. Almost 300 milligrams of cholesterol in every egg. And here we gave two eggs a day to these young men to eat. Almost 600 milligrams of cholesterol. Well, after 4 or 5 weeks had gone by, and this was an experiment I personally ran myself, after 4 or 5 weeks had gone by, we redrew the blood cholesterol and checked it. And the cholesterol for these young men, and these young men weren't getting any other cholesterol in their diet at all. They were on a cholesterol-free diet. And at the end of the period, their cholesterol was lower than when it was at the start. There was no elevation in the cholesterol on two eggs a day. Well, this was rather strange. So then we took the same group of men and we put them on their two eggs a day again. But this time we said, we want you to eat one little pad of margarine with each egg. which each little pad of margarine has about 5 grams of fat in it. And we got the very finest margarine you can buy. Fleshman's, first ingredient, corn oil. Comes highly recommended by many nutritionists. So we took this corn oil margarine and we had to eat that with every egg. One little pad of margarine with their 2 eggs a day. And then after 4 or 5 weeks had gone by, we rechecked their cholesterol again. And this time there was a significant elevation in their cholesterol. It had gone up just like every other research in the research literature goes up when you feed people eggs. But all the other research projects, they all had that fatty and oily substance in the diet when they gave patients eggs. But here you eat those eggs just the way that God made them, and you don't get that cholesterol elevation. Now this means a lot to us in our diet. Because instead of ordering something greasy and oily, let's say you decide you want a baked potato. And instead of ordering butter on your baked potato, you could order something like a little sour cream. Or you could order some other thing that they have some of the cheeses, like kefir cheese, that is very low in calories. It only has half the calories that, say, cream cheese does. And there's many other things. You could even use a little milk or a little cream on there. But there's many things that you can use for seasoning that do not have the free fat, the oily and greasy substance. There's many cheeses that you can use that are not that way. But the Monterey, the cheddar, and those others are free fat, and they will cause a cholesterol elevation. They're a real problem in the diet. So it makes a big difference whether you eat the food the way that God made it for us, or whether you eat it that has been processed and the fat has been extracted now to where it's an oily or a greasy or fatty substance. It really is in an unnatural form then, and none of the food that we have as it comes from nature is greasy or oily or fatty. There's none of it that way. It's all soluble with water. You can mix it with water. And this is the way that our food should be. Now, I'm not advocating that you use large amounts of milk. I'm not advocating that you use large amounts of cream or of those cream type of cheeses. But I am saying that the ideal diet would be fruits, grains, vegetables, nuts in moderation, along with a little milk or cream. Just a little used as a seasoning agent. Maybe spreading a little cream cheese on your bread. Maybe using a little bit of cream. Some of the old timers used to spread a little thick cream on their bread. And they used to think that was a real treat. Get that whole grain bread and spread a little cream on it. Some people like a little avocado spread on their bread. But there's just many things that you can think about spreading on your bread beside margarine or butter. There's many things you can put on your baked potato, on your vegetables, beside something greasy and something oily. It seems to make a big difference the way the body handles it. Whether it's going to go on to elevate your blood cholesterol and cause atherosclerosis or not. So really, if we're really going to tell the truth about it, eggs do not raise your cholesterol. Milk and cream do not raise your cholesterol. But it's those polyunsaturated margarines and mayonnaises that cause the real rise in your cholesterol. You add those to a natural diet and then you're going to get the elevation in cholesterol. Let's put the blame where it really belongs. On the grease and oil in the diet. When we buy milk, you go to the grocery store, I should say, and buy milk, it seems to invariably have a label on it, vitamin D milk. Well, what about that? Is that the way we should get our vitamin D? From the bottle of milk? Or should we get vitamin D from the sunlight? What is the situation with adding vitamin D to the milk? You can't go to the grocery store and buy it without having vitamin D added to it. It's hard to eat any of the prepared breakfast cereals, except for shredded wheat, that doesn't have vitamin D laced through it. And to baby foods, and to cereals, and to all the other prepared foods, they're lacing in the vitamin D until where the recommended amount that is recommended for people to get is about 400 international units a day. The average American is getting 2,400 units of vitamin D a day because of all the fortification of vitamin D. Well, does it hurt to take that much extra vitamin D? There's a number of researchers who think that it's a real disaster. As an example, one researcher took a group of experimental animals and gave one group no extra vitamin D in their diet and gave the next group a small amount of vitamin D in their diet. Just a small amount, just maybe what their supposedly recommended allowance would be. Then after a number of months had gone by, he looked at their arteries. And he was absolutely amazed when those arteries almost identically matched the atherosclerotic arteries that they find in humans when they're doing coronary bypass surgery. Cholesterol just thick on those arteries. And the only variable was the extra vitamin D added to the diet. In humans, it's been discovered that those who are taking vitamin D, their cholesterol level is higher. They seem to develop more heart attacks. They seem to have more arthritis. They seem to have many other symptoms of chronic degenerative diseases when that extra vitamin D is added to the diet. And that extra vitamin D seems to have a way of running the magnesium out of the cardiac muscle. And the magnesium is a very vitally important metal when it comes to keeping the heart working nicely and calmly and keeping it from getting irritated and going into what we call an arrhythmia, which can cause a heart attack. That extra vitamin D. Somehow, God made it so that we should get our vitamin D from the sunlight. And it would be controlled so we'd only get just exactly the right amount of vitamin D. And the nutritionists now are saying that the vitamin D really is not a vitamin anymore. It's a hormone. It looks exactly like that cholesterol molecule I drew for you. And it has hormone-like actions in the body. It causes calcium deposits out there in abnormal places, like in the arteries and in the joints. It's an abnormal substance in the diet. Nature did not supply vitamin D in the diet. You cannot find vitamin D in the fruits and grains and vegetables and nuts. It just is not there. And yet here's a powerful hormone that's being added to our diet, not in the recommended daily allowance, but many-fold more. There's many prestigious bodies, not only in the United States, but in England, that are calling for the removal of the vitamin D out of our diet. American Academy of Pediatrics, 2 years in succession, they ask for the vitamin D to be removed or a non-vitamin D milk to be provided as an alternate. But somehow it's got to be an economic problem with the dairy industry to where they feel like if they wouldn't provide vitamin D milk, people wouldn't buy their milk. Why? They want their milk fortified with those vitamins. And the breakfast cereals, the same thing. Why, if they didn't lace their cereal with vitamin D, their competitor over here would, and they would get the business. Especially when the ratings came out as far as what cereals were the most nutritious. They wouldn't be up there on the top of the list as being the most nutritious cereal. So you see, there's economic pressures keeping that vitamin D there. I want to speak to you about obesity because it's such a common problem. We might call it the most common disease in America. On a natural diet, and I should say on a natural vegetarian diet, where we're using fruits, grains, and vegetables, with nuts used in moderation, and milk and cream used as a seasoning agent, but also used in moderation, it is very difficult to use enough calories to become obese. There's so many misconceptions about obesity out there and what causes fat that I wanted to clear up just a few points with you. Many people think that fruit is very fattening. I've had patients come into the office and I've told them that I want them to eat a diet and I've laid it out for them of fruits, grains, and vegetables and use nuts in very limited quantities and milk in very limited quantities. And I'd spell out how many ounces of milk, maybe 6 or 8 ounces, just a little on their cereal. And this is the diet I was going to put them on to lose weight. Well, immediately, this one patient I remember in particular got rather agitated and says, "Look, Doc, you know, the vegetables, well, maybe some vegetables, but the fruit I know I can't eat. Why, when I eat fruit, it just blows me up like a balloon." I said, "Well, I really don't think fruit will do that. I think you've kind of misunderstood about the fruit. I really think that you can eat all the fruit that you really want." Well, she said, "No, I know myself, doctor. I've had many years of experience with myself. And every time I eat fruit, why, those apples and those bananas and that other fruit, why, poof, it just blows me up like a balloon." Well, I insisted that she go ahead and eat fruit, and she got rather upset about it and said that she couldn't eat the fruit. She knew that it would cause her to get fat, and she really wanted some diet pills. And I said, "No, I'm not going to give you some diet pills." And the conversation came to the place where I said, "I want you to try eating fruit in your diet." And she says, "No, it'll make me fat." I said, "Okay, I'll tell you what." And this was on a Friday. "You go home this weekend and eat nothing but fruit all weekend. 3 meals a day. All you want to eat. No between meals, but 3 meals a day of fresh fruit. And then you get back in here first of the week and let's weigh you." Well, she kind of went out of the office in a huff. But I found out from her husband later that she had gone out and bought big sacks of fresh fruit and gone home, and she'd been true to her directions. She ate nothing but fresh fruit 3 times a day. And then she was back in the office Monday morning, and we put her on the scale, and she had lost 2 pounds. Well, how do you feel? "Doctor, I'll never eat fresh fruit again as long as I live." Now, she had gone out to prove me wrong. And her husband told me that she ate so much fruit with every meal that she could just barely waddle away from the table. Now, I'm not advocating that you eat so much that you can barely waddle away from the table. But what I am saying is if you eat the whole food, the way that God has given it to us, the natural food, with all the bulk and all the fiber and all the water content, that it is almost impossible for you to get excess calories that your body cannot use in your body before your stomach says, I'm full, I'm comfortable, that's enough. But if you use refined foods, whether it's refined sugar or refined oil or anything else refined, whether it's protein or whatever, you are going to get so many calories in your stomach that by the time your stomach says full, you will have far eaten more than you should have because of the concentration of the calories in that food. And fruit happens to be a very low concentration of calories. It takes something like 4 nice-sized tomatoes to equal 100 calories. An apple only has about 75 calories, nice-sized apple. Banana, about 80 calories. A couple of nice, great, big peaches, only 50 calories apiece. Fruit just does not have a lot of calories in it, and yet it has a lot of bulk, a lot of water content. It's filling. It is not fattening. Well, some patients balk at things like baked potatoes. They say, oh, doctor, I'll eat the fruit, the potatoes. I know those potatoes are fattening. Well, if you really look at a baked potato, a nice big baked potato, it only has about 100 calories. A great big baked potato. 100 calories. Well, how many baked potatoes, great big baked potatoes, can you sit down and eat at once? At 100 calories apiece. Not too many. But what happens? You add, say, a tablespoon of margarine. And there's not many that get by with just one level tablespoon of margarine. They want 2 or 3. Or a tablespoon of butter. Or some other kind of grease they're going to add to that baked potato. And here they've doubled and tripled the number of calories where they're getting now 400 or 500 calories out of that baked potato when they should have only gotten, say, 100 or slightly more if they seasoned it in a more natural way. And yet when it really comes down to the bottom line, who gets the blame for the extra fat they have hanging out over their belt line? Oh, that baked potato, that did it. The grease gets off scot-free. Now, when you take this free fat and add it to the diet, you're always going to get obesity. It just seems like it's invariable. People are going to get overweight when they add this free grease to their diet. Because for every gram, you're adding about 9 calories. Sugar isn't even that bad. For every gram of sugar, you only get about 4 calories. So you get more than twice as many calories with every gram of fat. And people worry about how many teaspoons of sugar they're putting in their beverage or how many teaspoons of sugar they're putting on their cereal. And they should worry about it. But then they come along and add 2 or 3 times that amount of calories with that many teaspoons of fat or margarine or mayonnaise in their sandwiches and in their food. And they don't seem to think about it at all. But that free grease is probably one of the greatest causes of obesity. Well, one of the problems that we see many times is with digestive problems with people. They just have a tremendously hard time digesting their food. Their stomach is always seemed like it's having a little trouble with a little indigestion, a little heartburn. And they seem to get a bad breath from their digestive problems. Well, it seems like when we add that free grease to the diet, that it does obstruct digestion. It delays digestion. All those extra calories in that free fat. And the stomach only allows so many calories to pass out every minute. And if you take in a lot of extra calories in fat, if your diet is composed of a large amount of fat, your stomach is going to take a long time to get rid of the food, get the food out of the stomach. Let me give you a quotation from Dr. Davenport's textbook, of Physiology of the Digestive Tract. It's the ones they use in all the medical schools. He's really considered the father of physiology of the digestive tract. Let me quote to you what he has to say. Meals composed largely of fat of any kind, corn oil, cottonseed oil, olive oil, butter, lard, or fatty acids may remain in the stomach 20 hours. So here you have these different kinds of fats that he read off. They can, if your diet is largely composed of those fats, remain in the stomach for as long as 20 hours. Now, do you notice how he separated out the lard? And it says, now, if you fry your potatoes in lard, it will obstruct your digestion. It'll stay in your stomach for 20 hours. But if you fry those same potatoes in corn oil, why, your stomach will digest it in 2 or 3 hours. Did you notice how he said that? Well, you must have missed the boat. Let's read it again then. Corn oil, cottonseed oil, olive oil, butter, lard, or fatty acids may remain in the stomach 20 hours. He doesn't separate them, does he? What he's saying is fat is fat. It doesn't make any difference whether it comes from a vegetable or an animal. Fat is fat. It doesn't make any difference whether it has an extra polyunsaturated bond or not. It's going to obstruct digestion exactly the same way. There's no difference between the kinds of fats. To say that the polyunsaturated fats are much more digestible. They're not. Lard is just as digestible. It'll move out of the stomach just as fast as corn oil or safflower oil. And to not fry your potatoes or whatever else you're frying in lard, just because you don't want it to obstruct your digestion, and then fry it in the polyunsaturated oil, you're not really getting by with anything. You're just fooling yourself about fried food. Fried foods are impregnated with all kinds of grease and oil, and they're very difficult to digest. And they may remain in the stomach many, many, many hours. Now, Dr. Davenport goes on, and he states that because of that fact, that the food does not seem to digest and move out of the stomach, the average American, their stomach never empties during the day. Even though they're eating meals and not eating between meals, he makes this statement. Emptying is seldom complete between meals during the day. What you're doing is adding one meal right in on top of another. Just about that last time that last meal is partially gone, you add another one. Then you add another one. And hopefully before the next morning, you finally cleared the stomach out, and that poor, worn-out old stomach, you get up in the morning and, no wonder you don't feel like breakfast. But if you had let your stomach rest at night by having an early evening meal and eating food that is free from grease, and eating an early evening meal, your stomach could be empty by the time you went to bed, and it would be able to rest and sleep with you rather than laboring on through the hours of the night. And if you want a peaceful night's sleep and not be bothered with tossing and turning and some insomnia, try skipping your supper some night and going to bed with an empty stomach. It works wonders in helping you to get a peaceable night's sleep where you're not tossing and turning and dreaming. Because we know that every time the opening of your stomach opens up and allows a little food to come out while you're sleeping, you're going to toss and turn. Every time. Well, when you use this free fat and grease in your diet, you spread the margarine on your bread, put the margarine on your potatoes, cook the food with margarine in it, eat meat that's laden with the fat, and that fat is lighter than the rest of the stomach contents, and it's going to come up to the top. And it's going to float on the top of your stomach. And sure enough, Dr. Davenport says, fat forms large drops unsuitable for gastric digestion. Liquid or semi-solid fats float in gastric contents. And in man in the upright position, the fat in a broken emulsion empties after the rest of the meal is emptied. In other words, that fat in a solid layer up there at the top is the last to go. It's the last that goes out through the intestine. And for a while there, your intestine is getting just nothing but solid fat. Well, there's much more that we could go into, but I do want to spend some time talking to you in just the last few minutes here about protein. Because there's such a misunderstanding about protein. People think that they can extract the protein out of the food and use it as a health food product. They'll extract gluten out of wheat. Gluten is just almost pure protein. They throw out all the bulk and the fiber and the vitamins and the minerals, and they take that pure gluten and they throw it in on their bodies as a health food. And they'll fry it and do all kinds of other things with it. And they call it a health food. And then they take the soybean and they extract the protein out of the soybean. And they'll make mock chicken out of it or mock beef. And they'll fry that. But not only that, they add a lot of grease and oil to it in those kind of products. And they call them health foods. Here you have refined oils and refined proteins. And they're sold as health food products. And the nice picture on the label shows the nice fried soy meat. And as you take the soy meat out of the can, about 80% of the calories of those things is pure grease. They're not health foods. They're unhealthy foods, is what they really are. And yet they're propagated as protein, protein, protein. Americans have gone stark raving mad over protein. And yet we're told in our nutrition classes in the graduate division, University of California, that it is impossible to get a protein deficiency if you're eating a variety of natural foods. Whole grains are loaded with protein. Vegetables are loaded with protein. Nuts and seeds have lots of protein. Even fruit has protein in it. Compared to the amount of calories that you get from fruit, there's as much protein in fruit as there is in nuts. Nuts have a whole lot more calories, but if you compare them on a calorie per calorie basis, the fruit has protein in it. So it is impossible to get a protein deficiency from eating natural food. And you do not have to add all that extra protein to your diet in the form of refined proteins, whether it's gluten burgers or veggie burgers or soy burgers or whatever it is. They are refined foods and they're not put together the way that God put them there. If you feel you need more protein in your diet, maybe have a little milk with your cereal in the morning. That'll give you a lot of protein. But don't get the vitamin D milk. Find some dairy someplace that is willing to sell just plain natural milk. It's an almost an unheard of thing in this day and age. It hasn't been protein fortified, hasn't been homogenized, and hasn't been vitamin D-ized. Well, what happens when you eat a lot of extra protein in your diet? Your body has to take that extra protein that isn't incorporated away in your muscles. And if you think all that protein is going into muscle, it's not going to be very many days until you're going to be muscle bound. It's not going into extra muscle. Unless you're on a heavy muscle building program, pushing up barbells constantly every day. That extra protein is having to be burned, and the waste products of that protein have to leave the kidney. And when they leave the kidney, they always pull calcium or magnesium or potassium or some other mineral out with them. They always do that. So that people that live on a high protein diet, high meat, high milk, high eggs, are going to end up when they get into their 50s and 60s and we x-ray their bones, they're going to find that their bones are thin. They're osteoporotic. And yet we can go over to the native women in the villages who have a baby every year and they nurse that baby for maybe 2 years. And by all the standards in the world, they're on a calcium deficient diet and an inadequate protein diet. And yet when we x-ray these women's bones at the time they're 50 and 60 and 70 years of age, their bones are good and strong and hard. And their teeth are without decay. Where the average American woman who is on a calcium adequate diet and getting an abundance of protein like she should be, her teeth are rotten out and she has fillings all the way through them. And her bones are osteoporotic. My friends, it's not how much calcium you're getting in. It's how you use the calcium you do get in. Whether you're causing it to be depleted by all that extra protein you're getting in your diet. As I said before, Americans have gone stark raving mad about protein. And they feel like they've just got to have that big, heavy protein dish with every meal. Now there's much else we could get into about a high protein diet. How it shortens the lifespan of experimental animals. How that it increases the incidence of certain types of cancer. How it causes your liver to enlarge and your kidneys to enlarge from overwork, getting rid of all those extra breakdown products of the protein. Experimental animals, when we put them on a high protein diet, we get all kinds of problems. Heart disease, atherosclerosis, elevated cholesterol levels. One study that was done, cataracts, chronic eczema, coarse, sparse, discolored hair, scaly dry skin, obesity, sluggish attitudes, characterized the parents the rats maintained on a high protein diet. It's a real problem when we use all those refined proteins in our diet and try to get all that extra protein. Our diets need to consist of the simple, natural foods that God has given to us. They are the foods that bring health and radiance and vitality. The simple natural foods that God has created for us and designed to fit our diet exactly.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.